Merry Christmas, guys. Thank you for coming to this podcast. I don't know why people are here, but thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing with your friends. And welcome back to the SNM Podcast Christmas Special. I'm here with my friend's friend, you know. I'm just going to let her introduce herself for a bit and, like, tell us her name, what she does, and, like, just, you know, sum up yourself.
Okay, hi, guys. On today's episode, you have me, Chidera. My name is Chidera Onoha, a very regular 22-year-old, still trying to figure out this thing called life. And I'll be a guest today on Stephanie's podcast. So, enjoy.
Listen, as we enjoy. Do you know that this thing called life is the name of an actual movie?
A thing called life. Yeah, I've seen.
Oh, it's a thing called life?
Yes, that's what this is. A thing called life for a... No, a girl...
It's called life. Anisha, as far as it's called life.
Yeah, yes, yes.
All right. If you're asked to describe yourself in a full sentence, commas, you know, colons, everything, but a full stop, like a full sentence, it can be like a compound sentence, you know, all those things. Mm-hmm. How would you describe yourself to a complete stranger that doesn't know you?
A very ambitious, strange, unusual, funny, very beautiful young lady.
My sister said very beautiful young lady. I love your energy. So you're a strange person.
Yes. I won't say strange, but like, yeah, I consider myself strange in some instances. Unusual. I think that's the word, unusual, not strange. Let me not go too far. Unusual.
What about you is very unusual?
What exactly about me is very unusual? I think basically the way I see things, the way I see life, the way I see some certain situations, I'll say, okay, this is very unusual. Not like I'm completely weird, like I'm also very normal, but like I feel like unusual should be in any statement trying to describe me.
That's mad. Would you, this is very random, would you consider being like a manager someday?
Manager, the truth is, I don't think I do well in management positions up there, because I tend to be very what's the word, not authoritative. Like I can, but I don't think I'll manage it well, because I'm very, let's say, sentimental, very like, I don't know if I'll manage. I don't think, see myself as a manager. Sure, I can try.
All right, the reason why I'm asking you this is, before we got to this episode, Chidera, I wouldn't say you annoyed me, it was just, I'm sorry to embarrass, I'm not embarrassing you, but I'm just letting my audience know what you're doing. Before we got on this episode, Chidera was asking me, so do you do a poster? Do you post? What do you do? Like, what's the poster about? What do you talk about? What do you do? I was just like, she sent me a 4-minute VN in different variations. I was just like, I listened to it, because I was on my way to Lekki when you sent me that voice note in the night. I listened to it. I was just like, bro, nah, I'm not about to do this. So the entire weekend, and you now texted me again, and I had to respond. I was like, girl, I had a long weekend. It's a lie. I did it. It was, I didn't know how to answer. Chidera was asking me so many. That's even why I'm asking you, do you want to be a manager? Because Chidera was like, okay, are you going to post? What are you going to do? How are we going to let awareness? How are we creating awareness? I was just like, this babe wants to control this, my podcast, for me. Like, I used to do all those things, but I was just like, maybe next year we'll start again. But I genuinely used to do all those things. 2023 is my year. I just kind of wanted people to know, you know, the type of person that you are. That's why when I asked you, how would you describe yourself? I don't know why I was expecting you to say that you are very controlling, because that's the energy you gave.
Okay, Stephanie, well done for telling the whole wide world. Well done. Okay. I'm sorry. I know I came off that way. And honestly, okay, I think it's just because of the picture I had in my head. And when my friend, that is your neighbor, told me that, Chidera, I have a friend has a podcast, first thing that came to my mind is, okay, because I like to, like, you know, show myself. So I was already thinking, okay, I can post this on my Instagram, post like a really nice post, I'm going to be on this podcast, you guys should tune in. So that was what was going through my head. So I'm sorry, Stephanie, if I came off as very controlling, but I know I sent a lot of
it. But it's okay, we'll get there, we'll do all of those things, we'll get there in Jesus' name. We're gonna go on a little break right now. We'll be back for Christmas stories, so don't go anywhere. Thank you. Hi everyone, I'm just gonna make this quick, short, and easy. Stop, you know, go to my social media right now, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever it is, at Mbachi Stephanie, MBACHU STEPHANIE. Follow me right now. Follow me everywhere you find me. Just search for my name, Mbachi Stephanie, and follow me real quick. Then on my bio, you'll probably see a link. Click on that link. Engage my short story. Engage my newsletter. Engage everything that I put out there. Engage my articles right now. Do it right now. Please do it right now, real quick. Thank you. Love you. Enjoy the episode. Welcome back, guys. So today's episode is called, or today's conversation is basically Christmas, because, you know, we're in the Christmas spirit. Muslims, traditional worshippers, Christians, everybody is just in the Christmas spirit, because I feel like this is just like the holidays. People have fun. After this is usually New Year's. And, you know, I was so glad and very innovative to come about this conversation. So today I wanted to do like a Christmas story. Like a proper nostalgic Christmas story, just put us through like what we used to do like as kids and as like adults now, the differences and whatnot. So I have a couple of questions that I kind of want to ask Shira, so we can just flow into like the conversation. So number one question, Shira, what was Christmas for like you growing up? So what was Christmas? So from December 16th to at least January 5th, what was Christmas like? Don't give me too much, because like I also have other follow-up questions, but what was Christmas like in general for you guys?
Christmas in general started from school, where I had to like struggle between being in the choir or dance or acting drama, and I always really struggled to be Mary. I always wanted to be Mary, but like growing up, I was never chosen for that. I was always kicked into the choir. So Christmas for me was always singing and trying my best to be merry, like rehearsing, but never getting it. Cha. So from there, when I finally sing my old Silent Night or whatever, it's me coming back, because I'm Igbo and there's this tradition. Igbo guys always go to the village like every year. So it's like me coming back once it's 22nd, and then we hit the road, and then we're in Imo State, you know, eating chicken, drinking a lot of malt till January.
That's mad. Christmas for me was literally the oldest memory I have for Christmas or on Christmas is Mr. Biggs. That's like the oldest memory. And like, because I remember in Sweet Sensation as well, like all these like eateries, they would have the bouncing castle out on Christmas Day. So that's like the oldest memory that I have. I have a picture of my mom there's a picture. I think I was 6 in that picture, and my mom was pregnant with my youngest brother right now, and you know, I was licking ice cream in front of Mr. Biggs. It was just so nostalgic for me seeing that picture. And like Chira has said, village. So do you go to the village every time? As an Igbo person, I feel like that village, I don't just know. So like, do you go to the village every like year?
Yeah, a lot. We go to the village every year. The only time I recall we didn't go to the village was Corona time, but my parents still went to the village. But like every single year, always at the village. I'm always at the village.
I go to the village every year, but the weird thing about my own village escapades is I don't go to the village in December. So you know when normal human beings are going to the village in December? Stephanie is going to the village in February. I'm going to the village in August. I go to the village at the oddest times, but I also go to the village in, you know, in Christmas, and I know my way to my village. You know your way to your village.
Okay, I know it this way. I know like once we leave Lagos, we're going heading to Ogun State, then we're heading to like Ondo, then we're heading to like Edo, then Delta, then we know we cross that bridge all the way to Anambra before we get to Imo. That's all I know.
Oh, you're from Imo?
Yeah, I'm from Imo State.
What part of Imo?
Mbise.
Oh, do you guys really eat human beings?
Oh no, you guys, that is not true. Like, it is not true. Like, I've heard a lot of times, I say, oh, I'm from NBC, and they're like, they just give me the eye, and I'm like, it's not true. Like, apart from eating human beings, people say we are very corny, a lot of things, but you guys, I am an angel in real life. And I do not eat human flesh, I eat only animals.
animals. Vegetarians are not going to be happy about that. So, like, have you ever traveled out? Because there are also some people who travel out every December, so they choose a destination. Vacation destination to go to, like, so would you say that your family, even if you haven't traveled out, but would you say that your family would want you guys to travel out for Christmas?
Okay, when it comes to traveling out, I've never traveled out Christmas time, so I've really never really seen snow or anything like that. So even if we want to travel, although the last time we traveled and when we usually travel was when I was in like secondary school, primary school, when we usually go to Dubai or the UK. But I don't think my parents see December as village time. So if we're traveling, it's usually summer, the usual July, August, then start school September. So that's how it has always been.
True. And I don't think a lot of like people who live abroad come here I don't think they stay there. That's why we have I just go back, so only come back in like December. Because first of all it's cold to be, it's not normal to be in Canada or the UK in December because cold will kill you there. So like everybody comes here like for Christmas and everybody's sent to the village. So it's just weird where like Nigerians, you decide that it's in December you want to travel abroad when cold will kill you. Did you ever attend like any Christmas parties, and what happened like from your childhood? Did you used to dance? Did you used to take party pack? Just us Christmas stories.
Personally, all my Christmas stories are sad. Not like they are sad, but okay, the usual Christmas party I attend growing up was looking forward to our Christmas carol. Like when I was like way back in primary school, secondary school, we did that, but I wasn't really like that obsessed. So when I was in primary school, there was always, like I've said before, like my mom is always like, oh Chidera, try and be part of the drama, like try and be there, like try and be part of it. And like, okay, when I was, let me say I was in like primary four, there are always like primary six guys or primary five guys ahead of me, and they always choose them for like the lead position because I always want to be in the lead position. Me, I want to be Mary, I want to like give birth to Jesus. And it never happened. Like I never qualified to like the final part, so I always end up being in choir. And then you assume, oh, she loves to sing, but no, it's because I didn't get like what I wanted. So yeah, I think that is it. I'm always singing every Christmas. I know a lot of Christmas songs, guys. Like I learned a lot growing up.
See, I know a lot of Christmas songs, but like with me, like Christmas parties were my thing because I used to know how to dance like a child. Like I used to dance. There's no party I'll go to, I'll not come back with party pack for everybody in my family. Like it was a tradition. Like, you know when they say your entire family is counting on you to bring back that capricorn for everybody in the house. So that was how it was like. And it was very funny because we would have Christmas party at school, have Christmas party in the church, have Christmas party on the main road. Our parents will have Christmas end of the year party in their offices. So it's just Christmas. I feel like Christmas is just so joyful. Like everybody is doing everything. Like Christmas here, Christmas there, Christmas there. Just a joyful time for everybody. And like, okay, so the Muslims, they don't really celebrate Christmas because they don't believe in like Jesus. They don't believe that Jesus is the... I don't know their beliefs. I don't want to say anything wrong. Forgive me if I say something wrong, but I feel like you understand what I'm trying to say. So accept that. But still, again, I feel like they feel it. The same way Christians feel like Ramadan to an extent. Because you know when it's Ramadan time, you're seeing cow, you're seeing goats, you see everybody's eating, everybody's cleaning. Allah Akbar. You know, all those type of things. The energy, everybody's just lively. So I feel like Muslims also feel like that way, you know. But it's just so joyful because Christmas for me meant gifts. My family would always depend on me to bring back pencil for January. Because when I go to a party and I dance, I will win like 10 pencils. I will now share it with my friends and my family and my cousins and everything. But besides that, the village was crazy. Let's talk about Harmattan real quick. How was Harmattan like in Imo State, in BC?
Okay, Harmattan. One thing I know, like, is very consistent with Harmattan, especially then. Okay, apart from having, like, dry lips, dry skin and all, was the sotru. That is one reason I don't really like him, like, going, traveling to the village. Like, it's all fun, like, when you get to see your cousins. Especially when I was growing up, like, all my cousins came back. So, we're always, like, playing around. Like, it's always so fun. But, like, I always have, like, sotru, kata. Like, it always happens. And the worst thing you can do to me is allow me have kata. I rather purge. Like, I don't know if I rather purge, but I hate. So every time I go to the village, that is Harmattan, I just know I start feeling my truth. There's kata coming, and I'm not happy, guys. I'm not happy
with the red sand. I don't know. Let's talk about the red sand for a bit. Like where I'm from, in Imo State, because I'm from Okwele. The red sand, there's something about the sand. You know, every other person has brown sand, but in Imo State, it's usually red. So imagine Harmattan coupled up with red sand, coupled up with your entire family members, of course it's so joyful, but like you, they will piss you off because they'll ask you to wash plates, they'll ask you to they'll send you on errands that you did not used to go to when you were in Lagos. You will go to that errand in the village and all of that. But let me ask you one quick question. Is there a tradition your family has for Christmas? So like, is there a tradition? Because there are people who have like traditions. For example, me, you know, we used to go to the village every 2 years. So when we were doing every 2 years, we used to have this car. So every family would have something that they would come with, you know, in a, then would come with rosaries. Maybe because I used to have like a reverend mother who was my auntie, you know, she would come with rosaries, she would bring this, you know, every like sibling would have something that they would do, come to the village, you know, perform those rites. So like, did you have like any tradition as a family going to the village? Were they things that you would carry? Like us now, we'll carry our bicycle. It was just a tradition because we felt like there are some places that we cannot drive to. My brothers and I cannot drive to, so we have to use the bicycle to go. Like just random funny traditions that your family had like while traveling to the village.
Okay. One tradition. Okay, I'll come to that, but in terms of traveling to the village, my father always carries bag of rice.
Of course. Because you are going to share it to the entire family member.
Exactly. So I don't know if that is one. But one thing I can really remember was a tradition was from my maternal home before my grandfather died. When we all of us come together, they usually do this thing because I also have like an auntie who is a reverend sister. So most times, like you said, she stays abroad. So she comes back Christmas time and then she just organizes something for all the grandchildren, and then we actually have to compete. We just do like competitions, and then there are gifts, and they're like, okay, if you dance well, or if you like, we do, apart from dancing, we also do spelling competitions because we are small, so anything honestly goes. So we do that, and then we struggle to win those our gifts, and we do it every Christmas, like from when I was like 7 down to she stopped coming at some point, so it was always very dry when she wasn't there. But that's one tradition I really remember.
True as well. Like another thing I just randomly remembered is the church. So when we travel, we used to make sure that the less privileged have it good, you know, because these things happen like once in a year. So like, we used to also like gather things that we give to the church, give things that we give to people that are not so like privileged in terms of wealth. So that's like a tradition I would always do. And every December 31st, there was always a gun, because like our big, so we call him like big uncle, so big daddy, perhaps Bonnie Mass. So like, there's this thing he does every December 31st. He brings his gun in the village and just shoots it out, so like everybody knows that it's new year, like happy new year, ka, 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 ka. So that was it. That's a tradition in my village. Let's go to the sad part for a bit. When did you first realize that Santa was not real, and when did Christmas start degrading for you as a child? Like, when did you start saying, I beg, I'm not feeling this December, I'm not feeling it, it's not giving party pack, it's not giving rice, it's not giving white plastic chair, it's not giving what's the name of this drink? Limca. Is it Limca? So when did you start realizing that Christmas was not giving?
Oh my God, some heartbreaking stuff. Like, okay, the thing is like, okay, when my cousins used to be like around before they left Nigeria, we usually see them at Port Harcourt. And they do that Secret Santa stuff, like they put, but their parents that are like gifting everybody, because children don't have money to gift other people. So they like put gifts under the Christmas tree and all that. So, and they do this funny thing where they actually take milk and cookies, you know, that thing, you leave milk and cookies for Santa and everything. I think I remember at a point in my life, not just me and my siblings, we were like, let's actually make milk and cookies for Santa. And we did it once. It was always there when we came back. I don't know how I realized, but I think I realized that Santa is not real. But like with time, very out of context from Christmas. This is one thing I remember, and I did it a lot. When I was growing up, I used to watch like cartoons. Oh, I watch cartoons. And when your teeth falls out, you put it under your pillow for the tooth fairy to leave money for you. God, I did that thing countlessly, and my heart was broken countlessly. There was this time I prayed to God. I said, God, please. I said, God, please. Because you know when you already know, oh, this is, well, I was still in denial. I was like, okay, this time, I know I'm always putting it under my bed and nothing happens, but this time I'm going to pray. And I prayed and I still saw my teeth. So I think then I started letting go of a lot of things, Santa, the tooth fairy and all that.
I think people that really, really believed in all those used to watch cartoon. As I was growing up, I don't think we watched cartoon, but like my father was a very strict person. So like he would always want us to watch Learn. But like growing up, I didn't used to watch all those things. So like, you know, when people are always, you know, looking forward to putting suit under their... I think one time, my older brother, I don't know if it was my older brother or one of my big cousins, they wanted me to feel good. So I think I broke my tooth one time, and they asked me to put it there. And I think somebody actually put money just so I feel like the spirit, because obviously I feel like I would do that to my children, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, the entire make a wish, Christmas naughty, all those Grinch and all of those things. I feel like I would let my children, you know, practice that to an extent. But when they clock 15, that nonsense has to stop. Do you understand? So I just kind of wanted to know, like, of course, for me, I think Christmas started fading. So my father died in January. Oh, but that didn't affect Christmas per se. I just feel like Christmas for me just started fading. Like when I was just realizing, like, waiting be all this. Like when we stopped going to the village. Oh, I used to still go to the village, but as a collective, my entire family, we don't go to the village anymore. But I still go to the village when it's important. But like that also affected it, like when we stopped going to the village, when like Christmas was all about, was like, it was just the pressure. Like, if you know me, I'm not a pressure person. I'm a pressure person, but except it has to do with work. I don't like feeling pressured to celebrate. I don't like feeling pressured to celebrate my birthday, Christmas, wedding. I don't like the entire pressure, because I feel like once you say you want to celebrate something, it gives you pressure. Like, oh, your hair, your clothes, your event, everything has to be A+. Like, it gives me pressure. So I think I stopped doing Christmas, because Christmas started becoming, where are we going to? What are we doing? How is the date in December going to be like? It just started giving pressure. And I don't like that kind of pressure. And I was just like, you know what, fuck it. So every Christmas, our tradition right now in my house as the Mbachu clan, my brothers and I, every Christmas, we stay at home. I promise you, I have never stood up for once to go out. But my cousin wants to take us out for Christmas this year. So I'm a little bit excited about that. Mm-hmm. I hope it's very nostalgic. But like, we don't do Christmas. Of course, we pray. We do the prayer. But we don't celebrate. Because if you're celebrating Christmas in Lagos, the hold up will show you pepe. And now, you know, like 10 years ago, Lagos used to be empty in December. Now, everybody, IDGBs, I don't know why they found Lagos very entertaining. Everybody comes back here in December. Now, the hold up has tripled. And people have stopped going to the village because of insecurity. Mm. Please, all of you should go home. All of you should, especially Igbo people, Anambra and Imo states. I don't know what people are looking for in this Lagos, but please go home. Go home. Another question. What do you do now as an adult? Because I've said what I do now as an adult. So what do you do now as an adult for Christmas? Like, what's your tradition that you do? Do you do concerts? Like, what do you just do as an adult?
Okay. It hasn't really... Okay, apart from, like you said, I've gotten over the whole there is no Santa and all that. Like you said, in our household too, we just, okay, on Christmas, we have this funny tradition. We usually move, like, to the island, because I have an uncle that stays on the island, but he's all alone because his family, they're abroad, they've relocated, and he's still working here, that's why he's here. So we usually just go to, like, keep him, like, company and all. Then that's what we do. That's what we do every Christmas. So we still stay at home. It's just that we are there, so we cook and all that. Yeah, that's what I do for Christmas. Except like I'm going out with my friends, not necessarily concerts, just outings, like normal outings.
So like, are you a homebody? You don't do restaurants? You don't try to go to the village once in a while? Because now I think we do village once in 5 years. Not my friends, I know they do village once in 5 years, but me, I do village every year. Like I've said, I don't go to the village like normal people. I can go to the village now in April next year. I don't know. And it will feel very fun because it's like very calm. But like, is that all you do? Like, just go to the island. You don't do restaurants. You don't pick a day with your friends. Because me, I try to hang out. Because I just did like a rainbow picnic with my friends where I just called. We just all like rented an apartment, you know, just had a girl's time alone. Like, so it's part of like a Christmas celebration. So it's like, it's the island, the only thing you do. You don't say, oh, I'm going to this concert or I'm going to this restaurant.
Okay. Yeah. I still go out with my friends, but the thing is that it never happens Christmas time. Like, the usual outings I go with my girls, usually like, not Christmas time. It's mostly when we just get back from school, like, oh, girl, let's go, and then we just go out. But during Christmas time, is either my people that we hang out, like go out with, they're in the village, and I'm in Lagos, or like things are just scattered, and I end up going out with probably my sister, and my family members are really so, and they want to all come. So it's honestly always a family outing in December, because my friends are not usually with me. So yeah.
Okay, because I spoke about concerts, and I told Chidera I was going to speak about concerts today, just because we're in the spirit, because everybody does concerts. First of all, I think it's insane that these celebrities, they decide that it's every December that they want to do concerts. What's the big deal with deciding that you want to throw a concert in, like, May? Why do you think they decide that it's December that they want to do a concert? Do you have an answer to that?
I think I have an answer to that, because everybody wants to contribute to make your December dirty and make your December, you know, it's still the whole thing that everybody's putting pressure on December. Like, you see tweets, you see things from people saying, oh my God, December is coming, no money in my accounts. Like, why is it so particular to December? So I think it's still the whole thing that they want to make your December a dirty and enjoyable one. So that's why December is December. So everybody's saving up for December. So like, I think that's why.
I think these people don't have financial, you know, responsibility, because everybody wants to spend 200, 300, 400,000 December. In January, somebody will be sending me, say, please, 2K. I need 2K. Can you do me 2K? I think Nigerians as a whole, we need to understand. Like, if you look at these concerts abroad, they have like a festival during the summer, or they have a festival in like March, April, May, June, August, September. But you see Nigerians, that's why there will be three events in one day. And Nigerians, a lot of them want to go for every concert. Do you understand? Like, it genuinely doesn't make sense to me. People should decide that. And that's the thing, if you tell people early, and if people have seen that you're good, like, you're good with this music thing, you're good with the entire process, the music process, I don't think 25K will be too much for people to say, oh, let me save and let me go for this person's concert that is in April. Lagos, we are 17 million people in this Lagos. Mm. Every Saturday, every Friday, when you go to the club, when you go to Kobana, DNA, all these clubs, the library, you will see at least 2,000 people in these clubs. If you decide that, oh, April, I'm doing a concert, everything clean, everything nice, 25K, people will come. People from Ibadan will come. Must it be December? Must it? No. Honestly, we need to be asking ourselves this question. Must it be December? Because the competition is always too much. That's why you see, people always wait. I don't know if you realize, people always wait for, there are certain people that people wait for them to drop dates. So there is the Redeem Unplugged. There's always Redeem Unplugged. So there's Bonner, there's Whiskey, there's Davido, and maybe there's Olamide, and maybe like, Don Jazzy them. They wait for them to drop dates first. Then you, Mumu, you will not be struggling. And of course, these people, they will not drop dates. They will only drop dates Friday. It's usually Friday and Saturday that they drop dates. Then you will not be trying to squeeze how you would call people out on a Thursday when they have work the next day. Or how to squeeze people in on a Sunday when they have work on Monday. Do you understand? It doesn't make sense to me. So why does everybody want to squeeze in December when there's literally July for you to do your own concert? Only you that you can say, Friday, you will now stay for a long time. People don't always have another place to go. They say, okay, today I want you to just be this guy that I pay 25K to listen to him play me a set. Do you understand? But you know, when I spoke about this thing, people were saying it's because people abroad, cool, it's only in December that they come, and you know the exchange rate, so they are here to spend money, so they can do back to back. And because they're not going anywhere, they have their Mondays free, they can go to a concert Wednesday. Every other person will go back home, but them, they're not going back home because they don't have to work.
True.
On Thursday. Do you understand? But it still doesn't make sense. In the spirit of concerts, let's speak about this thing that happened with Asake. Because it happened yesterday. We're recording on a Friday. So this thing... Oh, it happened this morning, still and still. What's your observation on this thing that happened with Asake's concert?
Okay. That Asake spent 2 hours. Asake took 70K from my fellow brothers and sisters and spent 2 hours on stage because people were still trooping in after like when he spent 11 to 1 and people were still coming by 2 only to find out that the concert is over. To be honest, I can't really like sit down to like say why this happened, but it's funny, so I'm still just laughing for now. Like, I'm still laughing.
My guy said she's still laughing, but we're having this conversation before the podcast started, and Chidera was on his side that he shouldn't have done that, and I was on his side that he should have, because my reason being that he has had the best and the worst PR this year. The best PR in terms of his come up story has been very fast this year, but also like, there are 3 concerts Asake has been to that people have constantly complained. Even one, there's a babe that died last week who went to Asake's concert, and some people, you know, trooped in, they stampede and everything, and she died. A mother who just gave birth to twins, mind you. So there's the bad PR that has come from it. Why are people upset that Asake decided to start at 11 p.m.? I'm telling my friend that if Asake came out at 1 a.m., people will still complain, saying, Asake, you came out late. Now that you decided to come out at 11, people are upset, saying that you came out too early. Mind you, the O2 arena, I don't know if it's not the biggest, it's not the biggest capacity, but it's one of the most popular capacities in the world. It has like 20,000 people. One of the most important like locations to do like a concert in. O2 arena is supposed to close at 11 p.m. Mind you, when these artists go abroad to do a concert, they come out early. Everything is calm. Everything is good. A concert is actually because people have things to do. You cannot put on your poster, door opens at 7 and you come out at 2 a.m. for crying out loud. Do you understand? Maybe people expected Asake to come out late. How? Or they now said, oh, you came out at 11. Okay, fine. But we expected the concert to run till 4 a.m. How many songs? You people, how many songs does... Let me ask you, Chidera, how many songs does Asake have?
He has 2 EPs and how many features?
No, he has 1 EP. Okay, he has 1 album and at least 4 to 5 features. So let's say he performs his entire life. That one, if he's deciding to perform the EP, I forgot the name of the EP, or Mr. Money with the Vibe. Mr. Money with the Vibe, mind you, is 30 minutes. So his EP is like 16 minutes. So his features, if you add everything together, it's not up to 20 minutes because features, you only have 1 minute to deliver. Everything together will not reach 1 hour. My guy stayed on stage for 2 hours. People are complaining, saying that it's too short. Is Asake Bonabo? Is Asake Wizkid? First of all, Wizkid has how many albums? I think Wizkid has like 4 albums or 5 albums. Yeah. That one is a different story because his album alone is like 1 hour plus. That's at least, if you count all his albums and all his other single bangers, at least, if he starts today, Wizkid can take 10 hours to perform. Do you understand? Yeah. Wizkid and Asake, they're not on the same level. I don't know why people expect Asake to be on the stage for 4 hours. Like, it doesn't make sense. And I can't lie, it's good for everybody. Because I was telling people that you will pay the 70K, yeah? But you will regret it one way or the other. But I'm glad that he did not mess up. Let's not lie. The mess up is coming from the fan base. Because they thought they would go there at 2. And their party is just starting. And, you know, nobody wanted to meet Asake because Asake has been dropping bangers this year. But the thing is, we should all learn, you know. It's good for people. If I see anybody complaining about this, I will laugh at them. I'll tell them to. Because, why is the audacity? Because why would Asake say he wants to collect 70K from everybody's head? You people will give him 70K. You will now... Do you know what? No, I need to talk my shit. Nigerians deserve bad governments. But listen to me. Listen, hear me out. Before complained as a collective, when Asake dropped 70K, the different takes on the internet, I will never, it's the audacity for me, blah, 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 blah. In 1 week, Asake sold out his 70K. He sold out his 10 million naira table. He sold out his 5 million naira table. That 70K was for us to stand. Last year, when I went to Burna Boy, it was 50,000 naira to sit down. Asake is collecting 70,000 for us to stand up. Everybody complained about it. but it was still sold out. So that's where my first mail will come from. Because how dare you pay 70,000 for Asake? Secondly, you are complaining that he came out too early. Who asked you? What are you doing at 11 p.m. that you cannot come out and go and listen to Sumba La Jada Sumba? What were you doing in your house that you decide that you want to leave at 1 a.m. to go to a concert? What were you doing? Can you explain to us what people are doing?
Chidera. Okay. Like Stephanie said, we had a conversation about this before this started, even when I was really laughing a lot. Like, I feel Asake shouldn't have done that. You know, Stephanie feels like no and everything. Because people, like you said, he has dropped bangers after bangers. They say everybody wanted to see Asake. What made people like calm down a bit was, okay, 70K. That's why, okay, let me just calm down, not go. So, but like, oh, the whole thing is really funny. I can't lie. It's really funny and it's sad at the same time. Like you said, what is keeping you in your house for that long? They didn't expect it. Nobody expected that to happen. So they felt like it's either they start late, like maybe normal Nigerian time, they start late and they still, because everybody wants to go for a concert and come back like really early, like 4 a.m., 3 a.m. like the next day. So they thought that was going to happen. Nobody will ever expect that Asake will do a 2-hour concert, even when you say like he has like his out, everything is not even up to an hour. So that was what was going through their heads, I guess. So I think I'm on their side, but Asake has his reasons. Yeah, I feel like this thing will come like as a lesson, you said, for everybody to know that okay, well, you have to be here on time. And yeah,
we're not playing here. We're not playing. Everybody has to go to a concert early. Anytime I'm going to a concert, I always make sure I leave my house at 8. Because first of all, I live on the mainland. I like to get there early. I like to be there at 10:30. I'm not even joking. 10:30, 11. Let me enjoy the pre-act before the main person. Because anything can happen. I'm so sorry to the people who feel bad about this. I'm so sorry that this happened to you. But I'm also not sorry that this happened to you. Because we all have to learn our lessons. Because if Asake had come out at 1 a.m., I promise you, Twitter will not contain all of us. They will say, how dare you? You collected 70K from us. You're coming at 11. You're coming at 1. At least he came at 11. There's nothing Asake did wrong. Let me not even lie. He didn't do anything wrong. And I'm glad that he's trying to... Because, I mean, somebody died at his concert last week. He's trying to not trend for anything bad. Do you understand? Somebody literally died at his concert because of Stampede. Do you understand? I beg all of you, it will be well with you people's soul. Because if you have 70K to want to decide to go to Asake's concert, you can lose 70K. You can lose it. Like, because if you pay 70K to share Asake, you deserve anything bad that comes from the concert. Do you have anything you want to say before we jump into like the next segment?
Okay, like I think you've already said everything. You said it all. You guys should take heart. It's funny. You guys should calm down, take heart. It's all right. But I feel like, yes, I didn't even know that someone died at his concert. But for that to happen, he's already traumatized and he doesn't want anything like that to happen. So everyone has learned their lesson. Next time they'll come out early for a concert. It's the 70K for me. People still...
It's the 70K, but the person didn't die. So the person got injured or something. Person died like some days after that concert or a week after. It's so sad. But at the end of the day, like, death is December. Everybody wants to enjoy death is December. We'll just go on a quick break and we'll be back with the next segment. Thank you. This is the SNM podcast brought to you by me, the biggest brand, Stephanie Nomambachu. Subscribe, comment, like, rate, share, and follow the podcast. And now back to the motherfucking episode. It's take-home salary time. Take-home salary, everybody. Chidera, what is our take-home salary today from you, our headmistress?
Okay, one thing I found out this year. I know you guys will say, how will you just be finding this out at this point in your life? But like ever since I started taking, like I took Gary a lot this year. Like I soaked Gary a lot this year.
The poverty.
No, I don't mean that way. But like from school, because this year I read for a lot of exams, so I was in school like most part of it. So I saw Gary a lot this year. So I really fell in love with, you know, cold water. I'm serious. Like, that's funny. Like, I even fell in love with it. Cold water, sugar, milk, this thing, granules. Sometimes if I'm at home, I cut coconuts inside. It's very nice. So, like, one thing I learned, because I know that sometimes, like, past when I was younger, I still take, like, yellow gari. Like, I still take it with pap and everything. But one thing I discovered this year is that yellow gari is a no-no when it comes to soaking. And I'm like, and I know you guys will be like, how are you just discovering this now? But, like, you know, when you've spent so much time taking, like, white gari and everything, and then you just, like, just because there's no white gari in house, you try taking it with yellow gari, it's really disgusting. That's my take-home salary.
So my take-home salary is yellow gari is disgusting. On Christmas Day, yellow gari is disgusting. For the people who are poor, like me, like, that's our food. Like, but I like to make gari swell. If you ever make gari swell, the poverty has hit you hard. Like, imagine making gari swell, but, like, thank you so much for your take-home salary. I would keep that in mind, and would all keep that in mind, that white gari, called Ijebu gari, actually. Yes,
it is. Exactly, this is it. White gari is what you use to soak. Yellow gari, don't try it. With milk and sugar, the combination is disgusting. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to us. We'll go on another quick break, and we'll come back with games.
Yeah, perfect.
You know what time is when you hear this, right?
Game time. Are you ready for the game?
Yes.
Are you sure you're ready?
I guess.
Do you think I will shock you?
I think you would.
Okay. Just because we're in a nostalgic, you know, era, we are trying to be nostalgic. Can you name at least 5 games you used to play as a child?
Okay. That's Little Lily, Alili, Abombo. Everybody knows that one. Normal Tinko. Red Light, Green Light. I don't know if you guys know that one.
That's it. Stop. No, I beg. You want to do Squid Game for us?
But, like, yeah, we still played it. And I think, yeah, Red Light, Green Light, where you are looking for people and then you are blindfolded and then you have to find them and they are running up and down. And what's that last one? Have I called up to 5? I've said 3. Normal Tinko, A Little Lily, Red Light, Green Light. Is that not it?
I think... something in the garden, a snake,
Abby.
Yeah. Something snake beat someone or something. A fine girl in the garden.
Oh yes. Oh, a little girl in the garden. Do you know I'm even trying to remember? Go and.
But you know what I'm talking about. I know, yeah. So they count 1 to 10, and where the thing stops, that person is a snake or something like that.
Yes, I remember. Like you said, I'm trying to, like, recall. That one self is there.
There's also Patewo. Patewo is the name of a hairstyle. I'm not even sure.
Patewo is hairstyle. It's not game. Patewo is hairstyle. It's not game.
There's this one where you be jumping, like you would draw like a box, 1, 2, 3 on the floor.
Yes, yes. Like, you know, I can't remember. Like, this thing itself, when we're in school, we're doing a posting, and then people were bringing it back. Like, I think you put your leg, something like that, and all of you run. All these things, I remember them, but they are really blowing my head.
Yeah, like the nerves
fading. They're all fading.
Nah, this is so nostalgic. I can't even remember what games. Ah. Then I think NT. So, like, they give you, like, name. Okay, so there's name.
Yeah,
name.
Yeah. Okay, yes, normal concentration. We still play that up to now.
Okay, we still play that. But, like, there's this one where you have, like, let's say it's like your NTA, your silver bell, your this. So, like, everybody puts their leg together, and I think they call out a number. It'd be like, stop, NTA, I call on NTA. NTA will now try to get to the middle of this circle. Then yeah, the NTA will now say, stop. Everybody will be running. I don't know if you remember.
I don't remember. The same thing, like, is real blow. But I think, but the thing is that, you know, sometimes you won't really use NTA or anything. You use different things, but the same contest.
Yeah, it's the same contest where, like, everybody's gathered. They'll be like, I call on Pepsi. Pepsi will have to run to the circle. Pepsi will now say, stop. So everybody will stop. So they'll give Pepsi 10 seconds or 5 seconds to reach the person that's closer to Pepsi. Oh my gosh, all these games. Are you excited about the games?
Yes, I used to be. Like, you see that Three Little Lily, that one that all before, I don't play with up till now. That's it now, clapping. And no, I love that game. That was primary six. Me, I always happy. Like after school, me, my friends, okay, Veronica. Let's say me, okay, Veronica, we're three. Let's say we add maybe Tokpe, and we're all clapping our hands. Asaka, we're all mad. Would you play these games with your kids? Would you introduce your kids to all these things that we've spoken about? All this Christmas spirit. Would you introduce your kids to that?
Yes, no, because you know, I have conversations with them like, oh, don't you guys do this, you guys do that? Because when I was young, we used to play all these hand games. You guys, or maybe I'll just suggest the game to them, even if by then they'll be like, what is this woman saying? But like, yes, I will introduce it to them. I'll introduce some of the games to them.
That's so nice. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really did appreciate this. This was such an interesting conversation that we've had. Bye guys, and I think I'll see you next week. Say bye to the guys.
Bye everyone. See, okay, you'll see me next week, but you'll see Stephanie next week, so bye.
Bye, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Bye guys.
Deep Negro Sigh. We are so sorry that we've come to the end of this amazing and entertaining episode. But the good news is, I will be here with another guest, same day, same time, next week. So come back, okay? I love you so much. Bye.